Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10. Probably a story that you might be familiar with. A story that's very simple, but sometimes a story that has some depth to it that we can breeze right by without looking at it. So let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work, or to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her. I can remember in my early 20s and into my 30s that I spent a great deal of time learning how to multitask, learning how to do many, many things at once. Pay attention in class while I was in college. Yes, I did that if I could stay awake. Be thinking about other things that needed to happen and needed to go on. And now we're in the midst of the world where things are even more chaotic. I have a very hard time myself watching network television. Because I don't know whether you realize this or not, but on almost every channel, every 7 minutes, they interrupt the program for these wonderful little things that get stuck in our minds, don't they? Every 7 minutes. And that's why most people's attention span is not longer than 7 minutes, because of television. Because every 7 minutes you get a 2 or 3 minute break. Multitasking. Got to get this done and got to get that done and got to do this and got to take care of this. And now with the great, wonderful availability of carrying the whole internet in my pocket and using it and accessing it anytime I want to, besides the games and books and other things that I have on here along with my Bible, I was getting ready to... Kathy asked me to sit down here because of the ladies singing today, and I was getting ready to pull my phone out of my pocket so I could look at what few sermon notes I have for today, and I was like, no, somebody's going to think I'm doing something else. Leave it in my pocket, okay? Because my Bible's on here, too, and all my notes are on there. There are so many ways that we can be distracted today, isn't there? So many ways. Well, this story is about distractions, but it's about one thing. It's about one thing that's needed. One thing indeed. Now, I do want to mention that, you know, Martha's a very good person. Martha is an incredible person. If I go to Martha's house, I know that I'm going to be taken care of, don't you think? She's going to be doing everything she can to take care of me. She's going to make sure that I've got enough to eat. She's going to make sure in Jesus' day my feet are clean. By the way, I've never been to anybody's house and they offered to clean my feet. But that's what would happen in Jesus' day, because most of them wore sandals. And as they would come in, somebody would wash their feet for them. She's going to make sure that everything's in its right place at the right time. You know what? Martha's only concerned about one thing, isn't she? Martha's concerned about hospitality. Martha is concerned about hospitality. Is there anything wrong with that? Not if I'm the guest. Right? Not if you're the guest. Is there anything wrong with somebody being so centered on hospitality and make sure everything is right? I still remember the incredible hospitality that I got on my mission trip in Kenya. Absolutely incredible hospitality. If you go to somebody's house, it's an unwritten rule in that country that they must feed you something and they must give you something to drink. It's an unwritten rule, but hospitality is very, very important to them. And I can remember going with another person. Eric and I went to this guy's house. He wanted us to come over and visit his house, wanted us to spend some time with him. We had just finished a big meal, and when I mean big meal, I mean big, okay? I had to learn in Kenya that you don't empty your plate. If you empty your plate in Kenya, it means you want more food. And they fill it up again. And when you empty it the second time, they fill it up again. And by about the third plate, you're going, I can't eat anymore. So you leave some on the plate, and they want to know, are you sick? Because you're not eating very much. Hospitality is very, very important. And we, Eric and I, had just finished one of those meals where we had eaten tons of food, and this young man took us to his house, which was nothing more than a tin shed. And I'm serious when I say a tin shed. His whole house was maybe 12 by 12. And the purpose that he took us there is because he felt, since we were able to travel halfway around the world, we were rich. Because, see, he didn't have enough money to travel halfway around the world. So since we were rich, we could help him pay his dowry to his father-in-law so he could get married. And we had to explain to him, no, we're not that rich. But as we came into his house, he said, do you guys want something to drink and eat? And we told him, no, man, sorry, we can't eat anymore. He said, how about some coffee? And no. He said, how about some soda? And we said, okay. He left his house and left us there to go to the store to buy soda because he had none at home. He came back from the store about 20 minutes later, 15, 20 minutes later, with a 2-liter bottle of soda and 3 muffins that were about this size that he had just bought because hospitality was very important to him. And he looked at us and said, as soon as we finish these muffins and this soda, I'll take you back to where you're staying. 2 liters of soda on top of 3 plates of food. And a muffin that, I'm serious, it was like the, it was almost like the donuts over here at Coffee and Crumb. I've seen some of those donuts over from Coffee and Crumb. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen them or not. They're like this big and about this thick. One donut. Absolutely incredible. But hospitality was very important. And hospitality was very important to Martha. If nothing else, this is Jesus that's at her house. And she's in the midst of the kitchen fixing the meal and getting things ready. She's trying to make sure everything is in its right place at the right time for the very best for Jesus. I mean, if Jesus came to our house, wouldn't we do the very best that we could for Jesus? I wouldn't let him in my basement right now, but we would do the best we could. We would do the very best that we could, wouldn't we? Well, Martha's got this sister that's probably not so good, huh? Because all this stuff needs to be done, and Martha's sister Mary has decided that all she's going to do is just sit on the floor next to where Jesus is sitting and listen to what he's got to say. And all this stuff's got to be done in the kitchen. All this food's got to be prepared and be ready. And Maybe you would do the same thing that Martha did, right? Martha comes in to where Jesus is and she says, don't you think? I mean, come on, let's make the story real, right? It doesn't sound like she came in and said, oh, by the way, wouldn't it be nice if somebody was in the kitchen helping me? I don't think she did that. I think she came in and stood in front of Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got a lame sister. She's lazy. She's good for nothing. Can't she tell that all this stuff needs to be done? Can't she understand to get in the kitchen and help? And look at what Jesus says. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's be true and let's be real to the story. Martha hears those words, and what do you think her reaction was? Oh, gosh! At least he could have told her to get up. She could have done something simple like set the table. She's back in the kitchen fixing the meal. Now I want to ask you, how good is that meal going to be now? I mean, it is Jesus, but how good is that meal going to turn out now as she's in the kitchen slinging dishes around and upset that nobody's helping her cut up stuff? Or getting the plates on the table, or any of that. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen the one thing that's needed. You see, Mary was concerned about one thing. She was concerned about being present to Jesus. She was concerned about being present to Jesus. And Jesus says, that's needed. Indeed, that is the important one thing that we need about to be about. Now, I want to let you know that sometimes people use this story. And the way they use this story is to say, see, I shouldn't be a very busy person. There are times that, yes, I do need to sit down and do nothing. Because Jesus said sitting down and doing nothing's okay. He said, that's fine. You see, Mary's sitting down and doing nothing, right? And Jesus says, that's perfectly what's needed, and that's okay, and sitting down and doing nothing will not be taken away from Mary. I kind of think that's a wrong use of this story. It's not about doing nothing. It's about being present to Jesus. It's not about doing nothing. It's about being present to Jesus. Now, why do we need to do that? Why is that so all important? Well, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you probably can start to answer that question, can't you? Why is it important to being present to Jesus? Because the power and the energy for living the Christian life and doing what God wants us to do is about being connected with Jesus, isn't it? It's about being present to Jesus and knowing what Jesus wants in the midst of this world. Knowing how God wants us to interact. Knowing how God wants us to reach out. I'll admit to you, it's a scary thing to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It's a scary thing. Because people might call you a Bible thumper. People might call you a radical Christian. People might say, I don't need Jesus, but if you need a crutch, that's okay. Folks, if we don't stay connected to Jesus, we can't do what God's asked us to do. And you see, Mary was trying to be as connected to Jesus as she could at that moment. Now, part of me wants to say, you know what? There's a lot of stuff in my house right now that ain't put away. And that's all right. And I know my wife, Deanne, is going to be busy putting some things away here and there. Jessica, even last night, we had to tell Jessica, look, come over here and sit down with us. She was busy sweeping the floors for us. She was having fun sweeping the floors. Amen? Yeah. She thoroughly enjoyed sweeping the floors. I'm kind of like, leave her alone. It's making her happy and it's making me happy, and I'm sitting right here doing just fine. There's part of me that wants to say, you know what, it's okay for me to go home and all those boxes can stay there for the next 20 years. Amen? Except for some of the boxes that got some of our cooking gear in it. I want to find that because I can't wait to get back to cooking. Yes, I do cook and love to cook. Love to experiment in cooking. So I'm going to find some of those things. But part of me wants to go home and just be merry. You see, we've been living out of suitcases for, 6 weeks? Lived in 3 parts of the state in the past month. Packed everything up on Monday. By the way, if you need a great recommendation for people to pack a truck, I got the number for you. Danny gave it to me from his son. I got the number for you. All you got to do is get the guys here and they'll do every minute of it and love it. I'm serious. Absolutely love it. I looked like I was about 5 foot tall standing next to these two guys. I mean, they were like this. Part of me wants to say, you know, it's just okay to be merry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But part of me also knows that some things need to be done. So there must be more to this story. I mean, I want to ask this question. Was Martha's one thing wrong? Was Martha's one thing wrong? She was centered upon hospitality. She had a guest at her house. She had a very important guest at her house. Was Martha's one thing wrong? Because she was centered on one thing. Why didn't Jesus say, Martha, you're concerned about many things. You're worried about a lot of stuff. You're distracted. If you would just center down and upon one thing, it would be okay. Don't be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Center upon that one thing. He didn't tell her that, did he? Here's what I think the one thing is in the midst of this story. It's about being present to Jesus. Being present to Jesus can happen no matter what activity we're in. It's more a state of mind and of heart. It's more a state of mind and heart. Being present to Jesus can happen no matter what the activity. Had an opportunity this week to do something I hadn't done in 17 years. Caused a little bit of anxiety for me. See, I hadn't driven a truck in 17 years. And that was not a small truck, John, right? No. 26-foot. U-Haul truck. If you want to look at it, it's probably still parked over here by the U-Haul place. I doubt they've rented it out again. It's got a big who knows what on the side of it. I asked the girl when I picked it up, I said, what is on the side of my truck? Because, you know, U-Haul has those advertisements on the side of the truck from different states about different places you can go, things you can do. And this one has, she looked at me and then she looked at the truck and she didn't know how to answer me. And as we're walking to the truck, she saw what it said. It's a Thule Monster, she said. T-U-L-L-Y. I still don't know what a Thule Monster is, but it was on the side of the truck. Some prehistoric animal that lived in Illinois. Okay? I haven't had an opportunity to Google it yet, but that's something that's going to get done this week. Because I want to find out a little bit more about these Thule monsters since I drove one halfway across state. I was a little fearful about it because I haven't driven a truck in 17 years. I did for a while with a company that I worked for over 20 years ago. And the last time we moved, I drove a truck to move our stuff. But you know what I found out? As long as I stayed centered upon Jesus, that was the best truck ride I have had in a long time. Stayed centered upon Jesus and thought about some scripture, thought about what God... I mean, I didn't have office time this week to work on the sermon. Guess when the sermon was worked on? A good deal of the outline for this sermon was worked on a four-hour drive from South Hill down Interstate 85, Interstate 40, 52, 70 and then 70, or 74 and 77. Because I wasn't coming over Lover's Leap with a 26-foot truck. Okay? We normally go back and forth on 58, but I didn't need to see the end of the truck every time I went around the corner. You see, folks, it is not about being busy. It's not about doing nothing. Although I'll be very honest with you, I love to do nothing. I most seriously love to do nothing. Because when I have an opportunity to do nothing, I can separate myself from things that are going on, and I can pretend, just like Mary, that I'm sitting at Jesus' feet, and I can just center upon what Jesus wants for me. And I can look Jesus in the face, and I can ask Jesus, where do I need to be next? What do I need to do? But the truth of the matter is, the way that we live in this world, we can't always have opportunities to do that, can we? We can't always have opportunities just to sit at Jesus' feet. There's some things that need to be done and some things that need to happen. It's about being present to Jesus. It's about being present to Jesus, and that can happen no matter what we're doing. I've read many, many stories about monks, and part of their day, they do a lot of physical labor. And that physical labor is time for them to be centered upon Jesus. No matter what they're doing. There's a great little book written in the medieval times, I believe it was. The guy's name is Brother Lawrence. That's the only name that he goes by. And the title of the book is... It's in one of those boxes. Let's see if I can find that box. Being in God's Presence, that's not the name of the book. Do you remember the name of the book? No. All right, that's homework. I got homework. I'll bring that name of that book back to you next week, promise. If not, ask me about it, and I'll promise to bring it the next week. He was a man who used to be a soldier in medieval times. And he was Middle Ages, what would normally be later age for them in their time. And he gave up on soldiering and went to become a monk. And because he didn't have a lot of church background and didn't understand all these things in church and the things that they did in the choir and the things that they did in the sanctuary for following the order of the hours, they call it, they gave him a job in the kitchen. They let him be a monk, but they gave him a job in the kitchen. It was his job to keep the kitchen clean. It was his job to cook food for folks. It was his job to take care of things. And then this very, very little book, he talks about he'd rather be in the kitchen washing dishes than be in the sanctuary with the chanting and the singing and the reading of the Office of Hours, because he felt closer to God in the kitchen with the pots and pans than he did in the sanctuary. You see, Brother Lawrence learned how to be in the presence of God right in the kitchen washing dishes. He learned how to be in the presence of God no matter what was going on. So I want to suggest this. I want to suggest that what Mary was doing was right. I mean, Jesus affirms her in that. But I also want to suggest that what Martha was doing was right, but it was an attitude of the heart and the mind that wasn't quite right. I mean, we know that, right? Because she comes all in a huff and says, "Jesus, you're Lord of the universe, get my sister right." Isn't that what she says? And Jesus says, "No, Martha, it's you who need to get right." So I want to ask you, can you keep centered on Jesus while you do other tasks? Can you keep centered on Jesus while you do other tasks? It's a discipline. It's something that does take practice. I started this whole thing out by telling you I taught myself how to multitask and how to multitask in great ways. There's always about 12 trains running in my head, and they're running in every different direction you can think of. I'll be working on math problems in my head, something that makes no sense and doesn't even matter. I love to read about quantum physics, and sometimes I might be thinking about those ideas and those concepts of quantum physics, and some of you are looking at me like, "All right, he's already told us he's strange. I don't need to hear any more." I'm thinking about my interaction with other people and what I've said and what I've how I've talked with them. I'm thinking about this and that and the other. I'm thinking about so many multitudes of things. And I've had to learn how to come back and find the one thing that God wants me to pay attention to. The one thing. Being present to Jesus no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. Being present to Jesus while I visit with someone in the hospital. Being present to Jesus while I meet somebody in a coffee shop and begin a conversation with them. Being present to the ladies in the bank, because they're not part of the machine to get me money. They're people. The lady in South Hill wasn't going to let us close our account in South Hill. I said, "We're here to close one of our accounts today, and we're going to close the other one in a couple of months." She said, "No." She said, "I'm going to make you still come back here." And she told Deanne, and this was something that it made me feel very confident in what I had done in the past in the bank. She said, "We're going to miss your husband coming in here and joking around with us and being open." Because I was trying to be present to Jesus. And how did Jesus want to go into the bank? And how did Jesus want to talk to people in the bank that need help? I think I told you before, many times I walk into the bank and, "Can you pray for this for me?" Just because I went in and didn't use the drive-thru. Just because I called them by name. Being present to what Jesus wanted folks to do in the midst of that situation there or anywhere else. So folks, it's not about doing nothing. It's not about being too busy. It's about, can you be present to Jesus no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are. What a great time I had for 4 hours driving a truck, trying to stay centered upon Jesus Christ and what Jesus wanted. It was great. I'm not volunteering to drive a truck for you. I will if need be. But I loved it. Because it was 4 hours that I was in a truck by myself, and I could just practice being present to Jesus. And it was almost like sitting at Jesus' feet and just listening. Can you be present to Jesus no matter what other task you're doing? Let us pray. Lord, what a powerful thing it is in such a simple little story. A simple little story that we so often can look at and say, don't be distracted. A simple little story that we can look at and say, don't be so busy about so many things. But Lord, a very deep story. A very deep story about sitting down in our mind, no matter what we're doing, and being present to you, being connected to you, receiving the power and energy that you have for us, that we might be able to live the Christian life in an obedient and powerful and wonderful way. God, thank you for Mary. Thank you for Martha. Help us to find that one thing that's needed, that one thing that is necessary, that one thing that once we're able to find it and learn how to practice it, that it will not be taken away from us. That we'll always be able to connect back to that one thing of being present to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.